Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Well, good morning again, guys. Seems like minutes since I've seen you last. Well, we're going to get back into our study of things and the actual sermon end of things. And just to kind of set it up a little bit, is what we are doing as a church, as we talked about in that first segment there, we're talking about as individuals. Like, how do we as individuals take and bring everything to the altar, see what God wants to have in our lives, what he wants to take out, what he wants to shape, what he wants to add. And we're doing that by studying the book of Nehemiah, as we look at Nehemiah and how he handled the project of rebuilding the wall and using that within our own areas. If you've been with us at the beginning, we're about 4 or 5 weeks in now, we did a little experiment where everybody got purple pieces of paper and got to... It was so bad. Sometimes I refer to it as PPP. But we wrote on them the different areas of our lives that we really wanted to look at with God, maybe areas that we've been struggling in or continuing the same cycle in or whatever the case may be. And we've turned those in envelopes, sealed envelopes, and get them back at the end to see what God does over this series in Nehemiah. But again, invite you to bring those with you each week. And if you've not done one, you can just do one now. Just what are the areas of my life that I've kind of been in the ditch or continue to cycle in the wrong ways? And the first 4 weeks were kind of the foundation of everything that we're going to be looking at as far as when Nehemiah first saw the projects at hand, how did he handle it? What was the personal things he did? Second week was on support group, how to build a support group around you and who should be in your support group. Then we talked about when you face opposition from outside of that support group, and because some people do not want you to change. Satan is going to come against it. It's going to come out in different ways. So maybe you used to go out Friday nights getting drunk with your buddies, and now you feel conviction about that, and the buddies are like, hey, man, it was just us getting together and having fun. Or no, I'm working together, so how to work with that, to feel that opposition, and then also how to deal with opposition within your own support group and your own community. And so that really has set the foundation. And if you remember on the little gold star thing, that we've been doing, the little geeky thing we've been doing, the reason that came up is because off that foundation, there's these other bonus points, these other like gold star type things off of that foundation. So you have the foundation, but now we're going to start talking about different things that the scripture launches us into that we can lean into. So before we get to that, you need to get your bulletins. Get your bulletins, get your bulletins. Anybody need a bulletin? Anybody need a bulletin? Somebody got a bulletin? Who wants to do bulletins? Brent, do you mind getting bulletins? Oh, you guys sit there and laugh at the silly things. Okay, so do you guys need bulletins? Katie needs a bulletin. Anybody else? There's all kinds of people. Pick up your bulletins when you come. Jessica needs one. Howard needs one. Did everybody get their Valentine's Day card?
Yes.
Anybody not get that? Okay. Good. Does everybody get a Valentine's Day card on Valentine's Day at the Shepherd's Fellowship? We've been saying that for years, and we'll continue with it. Anybody else needs hand? Got it? Everybody get it? Okay, once you get it, open it up, and there should be white pieces of paper in there. Should be two of them in case you have to share with somebody behind you. Sound booth needs them. I know. Church folks, misfits who are trying to be better, trying to grow in our discipleship and holiness and getting the bulletins in the mornings. Okay, you got the white pieces of paper? Everybody got the white piece of paper?
Yes.
You need a pen. There's pens usually in the chairs in front of you, like in the back pocket type thing. We have a pretty small group today, so if there's not one in front of you, feel free to steal from the chairs around you. Okay, thank you, Brent. You're a good man.
Thanks, Brent.
For the record, Brent. Did you already have a bulletin, Brent?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a good man. I figured. Okay, so get your white piece of paper. Now, it's not going to be called a white piece of paper. This is going to be called your white paper assignment. Or your WAPA. So you have PPP, and now we have WAPA, which is actually from Friends, but that's a whole other thing. Okay, so here's what you do with your white paper assignment or your WAPA. On the top half, right on there, who Because we're going to talk about leadership today. On the top part, write down, who do you lead? I'm a diehard believer, and I've said over and over again that all of us are leaders in different times, all of us are followers at different times. All of us have more power than we think we do to be leveraged for the kingdom, and all of us need more mentorship and leadership in our life. So who do you lead? Is that your kids? Is that something at your job? Or do you volunteer within the kids' ministry? Like, what areas do you lead somebody, maybe two or three, whatever comes to your mind first? And then after those answers, draw a line across, and then put it down, who are your leaders? Who are leaders in your life? If you do not have leaders in your life, quite frankly, then all you got is you, and that's a scary proposition for me. So who are your leaders in your life? Again, you can look at work, you can look within your family, you can look within community, whatever the case may be. This would also include us from a spiritual standpoint. Who are your spiritual leaders? We're going to evaluate all those type of things as well. Might seem like that's easy for me to say, like, well, you're the pastor, you're the top of the... my spiritual leaders are the elders, and I have my mentors in my life because I do not trust myself to me. You know, I need those leaders. So that's what you've getting, and then you're just going to put it to the side for a little bit. Okay, who are you leading, and who's leading you? You got your answers? Everybody good? Okay, let's turn to Nehemiah 6. We'll dig into the scripture. Dig into the good stuff. Nehemiah 6, the Old Testament. If you do not have a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the baskets around the room underneath the chairs that you can keep, borrow, or steal. If you want a nicer Bible than what's underneath there, you let me know. I've got free Bibles ready to go for you as well. And the YouVersion is up and running. The YouVersion is an app that you can download from the App Store. It's free. It's national. And then you can look at events, and you'll see local events, including TSF and Today's Date. And that will give you all the scriptures and place to take notes and all kinds of fun things. So everybody good? Digging in, looking across the room. Looks like everybody good. Let's go. We're going to be a little, talk a little, lay some foundation, and then we're going to have some questions off of it at the end. Starting out in chapter 6, and again, this is Nehemiah has been working with the Jews to take and rebuild the wall and to remove that disdain from God's people. And we see that it's going along, and we see a couple of famous names come back that we've seen earlier. And again, if you've not been part of any of those, you can pick up those podcasts online, YouTube, Facebook, the website, whatever. But we've talked about Sandy and Tobiah, and they've got a friend coming back with them. So here we go, more opposition. Now, when Sandy and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates. Okay, we talked about that. So the wall part is done. The gates, which are the big areas that people can attack through, are not in place yet. But the enemies are seeing they are succeeding, that they are building, and that their time is running out before these gates go up. So they get a little desperate. So Sandy and Geshem sent to Nehemiah, saying, come and let us meet together at a hacky sack in the plain of Yoko Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them, saying, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this way, and I answered them in the exact same manner. In the same way, Sandy, for the fifth time, sent a servant to me with an open letter in his hand. And it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you are building the wall. And according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem. In other words, false prophets, saying that there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear these reports, so now come and let us take counsel together. So I, Nehemiah, sent to him, no such thing as you have said has been done. You are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten, us thinking their hands were dropped from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hand. So we're going back to outside opposition. These are the same guys as before, plus some friends that they're trying to stop the wall from being built. They have their own political motivations for this. Again, this is going back a couple of weeks, and that they're trying again. It was a last-ditch effort. So it starts out with Nehemiah, and you got Soni, Tobiah, and Geshem. Geshem means heavy rain, and that's basically how he's being played out here. Is he's just this heavy opposition coming down on Nehemiah. And so they are taking and trying to get Nehemiah to come out because they want to harm him. So they start out with a good thing. Hey, I'm on this is the part. Can you come down? Can we just meet? Can we talk? Sometimes opposition will come towards you that way. Hey, you know, I know we've been through this before. I'm going to try harder. Can we just get together, give it one more shot? Can you just come to this meeting? But in the long term of things, Satan is attending for the things on your PPP to stop, and for you, God to not be winning and for them to harm you. Okay, and this is what he sees four times over. They try the same tactic over and over and over again. And I like his answer because it's honest, but it's also somewhat shrewd. He's not like, I know what you guys are really up to, you know, and he's like not going to sleep thinking about revenge plans on his enemies. Like, you know, I don't know what that's like, but you know, that it's not mastering him, but he's just like, look, God is doing a good thing here. Why would I leave that? Why would I come back to the opposition? Why would I go back to the way it is to take and stop what God is doing in my life? I'm not going to do that anymore. So that's the first four times. And as that's not working out, and they're losing time, and they're still working on the project, and they're still getting ready to set up the gates, he tries a new tactic. He goes from more an aggressive, trying to knock Nehemiah back on his heels a little bit, trying to make him kind of really defend himself. And he brings up the rumors of the past. These are the same rumors that we have heard for 150 years that have kept them from building the wall like God wanted them to do. And so he says, hey, I know what's really going on. Me and everybody else who want to come to you and talk to you face to face, which, by the way, if someone says that to you and they're trying to bully you, that's usually crap. If they're saying, hey, I'm the only one good enough to come talk to you, but everybody agrees with me, that's usually a lie. That's usually building false support. And that's what we find here. It's the same thing. He's like, no one's saying this. You're making this up in your head. This is just your doings. But he's trying to get Nehemiah to be like, wait a minute, why do they think that? That's never been the plan. That's the old rumors. Why are we going back? I've never said that. I don't want to be king. Hey, can we sit down and talk about this? Obviously, there's some kind of big misunderstanding. He doesn't do that because he knows, he's already identified, this is what God is doing in my life. This is what others are trying to do, and I'm not going to entertain this. Because I have been, and I'm sure you have too, spent many seasons of my life where people are representing me in a different way than what I am, or what I was in a situation, or whatever the case may be. And sometimes it's a misunderstanding we talk about, and sometimes it's just opposition. And why would I stop what God's doing to come over here and deal with this? But the aggression is a sign where he's trying to knock him over, and his answer, the boldness back, is a sign that says, you're not going to be able to knock me over anymore. You don't get to knock me over anymore. His bold answer, I mean, like, it's not a general answer when you go from, oh, maybe you guys are misunderstanding me, to me like, dude, you're making that up in your head. You're just making that up because you're trying to get your way again. So the purpose was just to either confuse him or harm him, or take and make him try to defend himself, or alter the reality of the situation, whatever the case may be. And it gets aggressive as you go. And that's just good things to know for all of us. We all go through different situations to be able to watch those things when it comes to opposition from the outside. The example I'll use with this, so most of you guys, if you're on Facebook with me at all, saw that Jenny and I had a fun little experience that we woke up to yesterday morning, where my felon wife had two charges against her for not showing up as an expert witness in a case that she signed that she would be there on Saturday. So the police were calling us to let us know that they were either just doing a courtesy call, you can go to the Bellsman and pay $8,000 and then go to court and figure it out next week, or we're going to come arrest you and you're going to be in prison until you go to the jail thing. A complete scam, just so you know. Cops don't call you when you have an arrest warrant to give you a heads up. It doesn't happen. They don't tell you you're not allowed to talk to anybody else because you have a gag order. So don't call a lawyer. Don't call. For us, I was like, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make some calls. I got a buddy that's a county commissioner. We're going to call the sheriff's office. Nope, if you hang up, then we take it as a breach. We're going to come arrest her. You have a gag order. You're not allowed to talk to anybody. I mean, just the whole line of stuff. And the point of all of it was, I mean, it started out just them talking to Jenny, me getting involved, me getting more aggressive, them getting more aggressive. The guy ended up, like, cussing at me at the end and hanging up, like, we're just trying to do you a favor, click, da, da, da. But the entire time, it started out with, hey, we're doing this as a favor, to why are you so stupid that you're not just going to give $80,000 to the bail bondsman? Because the opposition that comes to you will continue to go through those type of phases to do whatever it can to get what they want out of you. And that's something we have to watch in our lives. That's something that we see here, and we see it in a lot of different examples in our lives. But again, this one is going to give us a couple examples, not just opposition from outside, but here's some inside. Verse 10. Now, when I went to the house of Shemi, the daughter of Delilah, son of Methi, who was confined to his home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night. But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and I saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sani had hired him to do so. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way and sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sani, oh my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess, Nobi, and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. So now the thing that they accuse him of hiring false prophets, they're doing. This guy is within the community. He's living within the walls. He's confined to the house. I always kind of assumed that that meant that something happened, that he was in trouble when I had been. But looking at this week, I kind of get a feel that maybe he confined himself to the house, that with him kind of playing both sides, that maybe that was more of a personal thing. And he had come to Nehemiah to cause problems. He is probably a priest because he has access to the temple. Not everybody has the opportunity to just go in and lock the temple doors. So he's probably a priest. He's in league with Tobiah. And we're going to find that Tobiah has a lot of allies that have an oath to him in this next session. And so he is now going from this pulled back position into trying to set Nehemiah up for failure. Because basically, no one locks the temple doors. Not in this culture, not in this custom. You don't lock the temple doors. There's plenty of places within the synagogue they could go and have meetings. Or there's other places in the home. I mean, he's already in some that they could go and have these one-on-ones. But he is acting suspicious by saying, well, go come in the temple and lock the doors. The only reason you would do that is if you're in danger and you're running and hiding. So basically what Tobiah wants is get him in there, lock the doors, pretend like it's going to be like this meeting for his benefit. And Nehemiah knows, because I'm not going to live in there. I'm not going to hide in there, but I'm a child of God. I'm doing this purpose. I'm working my PPP. I'm not going to do that. But all Tobiah wants is for him to be able to say, look, Nehemiah's running and hiding. Look, he's afraid. Look, he's doing what I want him to do. Look, he's pulling back. That's what Tobiah's plan was here. But instead of doing the setup, once again, it's met with boldness. Why would I do that? God is doing this, and I'm going to stick with God. This was constantly his vision point of being able to follow God and know that God had him, and everything else is Satan trying to pull back from what God had for him. You still with me? And this is all setting up some points with this leadership. Verse 15, this is how it continues. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days total. And when all our enemies heard about it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them, because many in Judea were bound by oath to Tobiah, because he was son-in-law of Shechi, the son of Arah, and his son Jehoi had taken his daughter of Musalam, man, one syllable letter names would be great, the son of Boki and as his wife. And also they spoke of his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters trying to make me afraid again. continuously. That opposition is still continuing, even though he saw that God was working with it, even though he saw that God's hand was on it, and even though he knew that God was with Nehemiah, not himself. He still would not relent to God, but he continued to go with his own self. And those are the type of people that usually cause opposition in our lives. So both oppositions continued within and without, but the wall is complete. The project, as far as the initial aspect, is complete. Now, there's some voices in here that I really like. And this, I think they're encouraging. And to be honest, the last probably 36 hours or so, I've been going through my own little funk with some things, and Satan's trying to stress me out on. And last night, trying to go to sleep was a nightmare, and my back is responding accordingly. These voices I came back to last night while I was laid in bed and saying, this is the language I need to cry out to my God. So this heart that Nehemiah had in this chapter. First off, verse 8, at the beginning of that first section, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. He had a great response to that outside opposition. I'm not going to walk away from God. I'm going to stand up to the opposition. But even then, he's not Superman. It still impacts him. And so he prays, God, strengthen my hands. You remember he strengthened their hands before when they started the work. God, keep me on track with this. This is hard. This is overwhelming, right? So God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my resolve. Help me to keep going no matter what that external looks like. 14, remember those who oppose me, my God. Remember those who oppose me. If you are following God and following leaders who follow God, and there's opposition coming from those that, quite frankly, just have no respect for God and are not within that frame of things, then instead of laying there at night thinking about your revenge on them, God, I'm going to give them to you. Remember what they're doing. May you build me up. May you be my foundation. May you be my salvation in this aspect. And I'm just going to let you deal with them. I'm going to let you do. I still have to act in accordance to my integrity and what you lead me to, but I'm going to continue praying to you. You remember them because they just, my anxiety level is so high, my depression level is so high, my anger is so overwhelming. So I remember God, take them. And then verse 15, for some reason it cracks me up. So the wall was finished. We go through all this opposition, and then Nehemiah's like, so anyways, God did what he wanted to do. So anyways, the project's complete. So anyways, one more thing to glorify him on what he did with that thing I put on that PPP piece of paper, that God still has his way, that we have that testimony being built, that we have that to look forward to in the future. So when we put those things into play, that's good, I think, for any of us for any situation we're going through. But we're narrowing it down into the scope of this application with the Rapaz, right? So I want you to get those papers back out. This is our response time. And look at them. And from the standpoint of who are your leaders, again, it could be family, it could be job, it could be government, it could be spiritual. You might not have chosen that leader, but they're in your life anyways. But who the leaders are in your life, then how do they compare to Nehemiah? Now, if, let's say you look at the spiritual leader and you're a TSFer and you put myself down or the elders down or whatever the case be on a spiritual leadership standpoint, I should be striving to be like Nehemiah. You should be following me because I'm following God. Does that make sense? If I'm not following God, you should be addressing it. And if I don't follow God and the elders don't follow God and you try to address it and it's not happening, you should leave and find a church that's following God. I believe we are, but nonetheless, that's basically how it works. How does that work with your politicians who claim to be Christians and then act in different ways that you're kind of curious about? It's not the same as comparing to a pastor, but you still have to hold them accountable. You still have to have communication. You still have to look at them in this model and say, okay, so how much value should your leadership have in my life? And right now, if you're a Democrat and you say none, you're wrong. There's still leadership value, even with people that you don't like or don't stand or that you don't feel like following God. God's put them in that place. So what is that value? I'm not sure I'm going to go off the spiritual bridge for you, but how does that come into place? Looking at your report right now should be, with the things that we're talking about, how is those people leading in my life? Should I replace some of that leadership if it's within my control? and what kind of value should I put into it, or should I bring some of this opposition knowledge into there as well? Does that make sense? That's part of your response. What are you doing with the leaders in your life? And if they are following God, are you following them? Are you doing your part of the build to follow them well? Okay, so it's not just about the leaders, it's about how your following is. Everybody good? Everybody still with me? Then, look at who you're leading. Same areas. It could be work, it could be your kids, it could be whatever the case may be. How are you leading, and how much value should they put into your leadership, depending on how much you're acting like Nehemiah versus being a hypocrite? That's the second part of it. Because I know that there's been people I worked under that didn't exactly get a lot of respect, who didn't ask for respect, didn't act for respect. So if you are the one that's in control of that leadership, and people are following you, are you acting in such a way that you'll be a Nehemiah in their lives? As the question comes in hand. If you do those two things honestly, you're going to have some serious response time notes to be able to dig into that's going to change a lot of things in your life. Does that make sense? So just within that little bit, but don't just be like the world that just complains about their leadership and doesn't do anything about it and doesn't do anything themselves. I remember 20 years ago, this is when we were downtown before we came out to this property. There was a coffee house type setup, and I had my paperboard out. You know, I love my paperboard, right? And I asked, we did some brainstorming. I said, what do you expect out of me as a pastor? What traits, what moral standards, what disciplines should I have that you expect out of your pastor? And boy, we filled that sucker up fast. You know, reading the Bible, being in prayer, taking and not sleeping around. And I mean, we just filled that sucker big on all these ethical things and all these spiritual discipline things. And I remember I looked at it and I said, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot. I said, but I'll tell you what, I'm in. If you are. If these same things apply to you, I'm all in. And I remember hearing an audible gasp like, you can't seriously expect us. We need to be able to step up into these areas in leadership and how we follow to be able to take and have the type of commitment that we need, that we're seeing here in Nehemiah. So a couple things for you to consider. If you're note-taking, I'll just put all three up there for you. But when we look at Nehemiah, how we lead and how we follow is our service to the Lord. Whether it be parents, employers, church, whatever the case may be, how we lead is our service to the Lord. Those are things that he has put us in place, either at the front or behind, to be able to do for him. And if we do it well, then it's worship. We're just doing what he's called us to do. We're worshiping him. It's not, again, we talk about it all the time, and you guys know it, and that's now become cliche-ish. It's not just about the worship through music, but our worship in our life is how we serve and how we take and lead and how we follow. That's part of our worship. And then as also, it grows the kingdom of the Lord. If you're a crappy follower and a headache to your boss, and they're thinking about Jesus, it might not be your best testimony. If you're pressing your children to the point that you are stressing them out and they're lashing out because you're putting too much oppression on them. The scripture says, make sure that the kids are obeying their parents. Absolutely. And the second half of that sentence is, don't exasperate your children. Don't put them under the thumb where you're causing these situations. Be a good leader and a good follower as you look at these different values and be able to find them in these different places. This is how, when you break the ice, and as you build relationships, and as people are watching you after the raise of the flag, that you build a testimony, that they trust you when you invite, share the gospel with them, and ask them, what do you want to do with God, after you've seen what I've done with God?
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.